Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. I am glad to have you gathered together with me tonight for this Bible lesson on who is Jesus, as Jesus introduces himself as recorded in the book of John. Let's start out and have a little worship music so that we can get our minds right and ready, and as we get people logged in to the broadcast. Listen in, and we'll be back as we get our hearts and minds prepared to receive the word. This will be a good time to reach out and get somebody, or remind somebody that we are on the air.
Children.
All right. There we have it. Jesus is love. If you know that right there, sitting where you're sitting, inside your spirit, just say amen. Jesus is love. And tonight, we are going to find out and discuss the different ways that Jesus introduced himself as recorded in the book of John. So you have your Bibles. I want you to turn to the book of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, fourth book in the New Testament. And I want you to turn to the book of John, and I want you to look at chapter 1, verse 1, and we will get started. Welcome, everybody who has come in and who have gathered with us tonight, and welcome to those who will listen on the podcast later. We just want to bless you with the word itself. We are going to go into the word, and we're going to look at the word and examine the word, and we're going to do an exegesis on the word. I'm not just going to take one verse and then go off and give a bunch of my words. We're going to go verse by verse, and we're going to see what the Lord says about himself. And in doing that, let's go with John chapter 1, verse 1. And I want to make sure that we're all on the same page, that we're all reading a translation that is going to get us to the right place. All right, so John 1, 1, this is our test verse, and we want your Bible to read very close to this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, this, the way it is written and the way I just read it, is very important. If your Bible says something different, then I'm afraid that you are not using a good translation of God's Word. You are probably using a translation that was published by organizations that would have you to believe other than what God's Word would have you to believe. In other words, it is looking like a Christian group, but does not and denies the power of God. And so I want to encourage you to get yourself a King James Version of the Bible, a New International Version of the Bible, NIV, or a New American Standard Version of the Bible. Also, you could use maybe some of the Amplified Versions of the Bible. Unless, of course, you read Greek, and that would be the best if you read Greek, is to read the Greek version of the Bible with the Septuagint. And if you read Hebrew, then a Hebrew Bible will do you wondrously well. But if you are studying out of the English, one of those few translations that I shared with you would be the best to go on. You do not want a New World Translation Bible, nor do you want an authorized King James Version of the Bible. Neither one of those two will get you where you need to be with Christ. Okay. So let us dig in and see how Jesus himself introduced himself while he was here, and let's see where he took us and how he wanted us to go about knowing him and relating to him. All right, turn over, since you're already in John, turn over to chapter 6 and go down to verse 35. John chapter 6, verse 35. Okay. Now, as this reads, I'm going to read it. You read it along with me. Make sure I'm reading the Bible. Make sure I'm reading the true word of God. So you read it along with me. And take notes, if you will, so you can go back and study the context and content of all these verses that I'll be sharing with you so that you can get the full story and know that I'm not just trying to use the Bible to say what I want to say. But I am looking at the Bible to see what the Bible is indeed saying. That's very important. All right. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. Okay, so Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Now, the people he was speaking to during this day, they understood this very, very well, because they were out in the desert with Moses, and the Lord fed them through manna, fell from heaven, and it was a bread-like substance. And the Lord fed them with this manna, and this manna gave them nourishment. This manna kept them. So when Jesus says, I am the bread of life, it means I am the bread that gives life. The life of which he speaks is spiritual and eternal. So if you seek eternal life, you need to seek Jesus. There's many people saying there are many ways to God. There's many ways to this eternal life. But I say unto you that if you don't have Jesus, you don't have eternal life. We do not all serve the same God. It's not all the same. We just call them different names. No, sir. No, ma'am. If you don't take of the bread of life, eternal life will not be yours. That's not me talking. That's the Bible talking. If it doesn't read that way in your Bible, then you just turn me out and tune in to something else, because if Jesus is not the only way, then I am believing a lie and I am preaching a lie, and I do not want to be guilty of either one of those. Now, John 6, if you keep on reading, and like I told you, I want you to read it. Because you read it, see him for yourself in context. Verse 41, 6:41, I am the bread which came down from heaven. 6:42, I came down from heaven. Now the Lord would tell you he came down to heaven. Now this disturbed the Jews that was in the crowd. Because he said, one, that he's the bread of life, and they understood what that meant, and two, that he came from heaven, and they understood what that meant. Jesus was saying that he was deity. He was God. And we know that this is what finally got him crucified, was the fact that he said he was God. And that's what they understood him to say. So, Look over there at verse 51 of chapter 6. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give him is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. So Jesus is saying that through him, again, is eternal life. He came down from heaven, and he's given of himself for us, so that we might have eternal life. But in order to have that eternal life, we must partake of him. Now, most of you church-going folks, you understand and you know that this is the basis and a type of where we get our Lord's table from, to where we take communion. Okay, so just tuck that back in the back of your mind and see how all this lays one pillar upon another pillar. Okay, let's turn over to chapter 8. This one is one of my favorites from when I was a child, and it has stayed with me through to this day. John 8:12 is one of my first memory verses. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus claimed to be the light of the world. Now, there's several verses that you can look at for that and, read it in its context. Now, the Pharisees disputed his authority because he witnessed of himself, saying, I am the light of the world. However, if you continue to read this book of John, and you will know that Jesus said, hey, if I witness of myself, then maybe you have a problem. But the Father beareth witness of me. You can see that in verse 18 of this same chapter. So he's the light of the world. He sheds light in the darkness. He illuminates things. He brings about truth. He brings about all the good positive energies that the light would bring. The light helps things to grow. The light shines a light on sin. So he reveals sin. What's done in the dark shall be brought into the light. Okay? I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness. If you are troubled, if you are confused, if you are looking for answers and can't seem to find them, look towards Jesus and listen to what he says. Get in his word and believe what you read as it speaks to you. Don't let tradition make the word of no use to you, of no effect to you. Look at it, read it, pray, ask for the light of the Lord to shine upon the truth so that you might have the truth. And that truth shall set you free. All right, now, it wouldn't take much for me to go off into preaching, but we're just trying to break this word open and break it down so that you know what you know, and nobody can take you from what you know and give you the assurity of your relationship with Jesus and your relationship with God. So, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. All right, let's look at John 9:35. John 9:35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had heard, when he had found them, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said unto him, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh to thee. So right here, Jesus is telling the man who had been thrown out that he himself was the Son of God. Now, the guy didn't know because nobody had told him. Jesus told him. Now, many of people have said, well, Jesus never claimed to be God. Jesus never claimed to be the Son of the God. Well, right here, boom, there it is. Bango, bongo. Just right there. Now, this is an addition to the I am statements, but I felt it was important to put in to show emphatically Jesus' claim to be the Son of God. Okay? Now, you might not even have to turn. Here we go to chapter 10, verse 7. And I'm going to read a little bit for you. Chapter 10, verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that life more abundantly. So Jesus breaks it down and he says, I'm the door for the sheep. Now, these folks are no stranger to the kind of talk that he's talking. Now, in a sheep pasture, in a sheep gate, in a sheep holding area, what happened was the shepherd would actually lay down in the opening of the fence. So anyone who would come in would have to come step over him. Any animal that would try to come in to get the sheep would have to come through him. So the sheep are safe so long as they're in the fold. And then he them out in the pasture to graze. But when the sheep come up to the door and they see their shepherd laying in the door, they're not going to try to pass the shepherd. They'll, you know it's time to stay in. But as the shepherd gets up to leave, they know it's time to follow the shepherd. So that's a little lesson on sheep and shepherding. And so he said, those who came before him were thieves. You know, there's a lot of people who claim to be a Messiah who are not. And there are people who came in their own words, in their own, on their own power, and not in the name of the Lord. And, you know, they came to cause harm to the people, not to cause good. They came for their own selfishness, not to cause good. Jesus says, I am the door of the sheep. Okay, let's keep going in verse 10 and go to verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catches them, and scattereth the sheep. Now, that's a lot of old English talk, but what does it mean? Well, the good shepherd lets us know that if there's a good shepherd, there's a not so good shepherd. Jesus claims to be the good shepherd whose sheep are owned by him. Now, the hireling, a guy who's just doing a job, well, when danger comes, they forget about the job they're supposed to do, and they think about their own selves. They think about saving their own hide. So when danger comes, when the wolf comes to attack, or the coyote, or the fox, or whatever is after the sheep, comes to attack, that danger causes exposure to the bad shepherd, causes exposure to the hireling, the one who's been hired and paid to do the job, and they're just doing a job to make money. They have no ownership in the process. They have nothing to lose. You know, the sheep have no value to them except for their job. So they run. And then that danger comes and scatters the sheep. And that's the position we find ourselves in today's world. The church, the sheep, us Christians, as if you will, we've been scattered. We're listening to every bad doctrine. No one knows the truth hardly. No one's preaching the truth hardly. And when I say no one, that is an exaggeration. There are many who are still preaching the Bible. There are many still preaching truth. But you have to look hard for it, because there are many that would deceive you. This is why I am so emphatic about which Bible translations that you study from, so that you are not deceived. Because the Bible says in these last days, even the very learned will be deceived. So be careful. The very elect will be deceived. So be careful and get into your Bible and hitch your post to the good shepherd, because he careth for you and he will protect you. Okay, so verse 14, I believe I read this. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. So many of us have such a bad connotation of who Jesus is and the character of Jesus. And they use different sayings and different rhetoric like, well, God knows my heart. And, well, the Jesus I know or the God I know wouldn't be like this, this, and this. Well, this is the God that you're making up in your own head, where the God of the Bible has already brought light onto his character and who he is and whom he is. His sheep know his voice, and none other will they follow. The road that he takes you on is not always going to be smooth. It's not always going to be easy. In fact, if you have never had a trial or a tribulation, you should ask yourself if you are on the right road. You should ask yourself if you're not following your own self or if you're following Jesus. Now, that's another sermon in itself, and we won't chase that rabbit. I'll just leave that for you right there, and you let the Lord speak to your heart. All right, let's look at 10:30, John chapter 10, verse 30. And right here, we'll see after Jesus has spoken a lot, he says, I and my Father are one. I and my Father are one. Now, this goes into a Trinitarian belief, and it supports that, and it gives foundation to that doctrine. I and my Father are one. The Father is God, Jesus is God, the Spirit is God, all God. Not three gods, one God. So I wanted to throw that in to put some foundation to our studies so that we know the deity of Christ and we honor him as deity, so that we know who it is that we follow and to whom we give allegiance. All right, and you can go ahead and read 10:31 through 33, and that gives more weight and more credence to the fact that Jesus claimed to be God. Okay, now let's keep on moving. Got a lot of road to go and not a lot of time to get there. So let's look at chapter 11, verse 25. Chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Now, this is very important because this introduces another doctrine of the resurrection. And eternal life. It gives us a foundation and a way of thinking that causes us to be able to grieve the loss of a loved one, but to grieve with understanding that we're not grieving the total loss of them. We're grieving, you know, that relationship that we had, you know, that being able to go visit with them and to enjoy their company here on earth. But we know that there is a time coming when we will be rejoined with them and be able to enjoy their company again if they also had the belief in Christ. So So belief in Christ, again, is very important for eternal life. And Jesus asked Mary the question and Martha the question, believest thou this? You know, you've heard this doctrine. You've known me. Now, do you believe this doctrine? Well, if you believe it, then let us stop crying as if it's the end of the world. This, your brother, shall rise again. And in this instance, it would be literally rising again. In the figurative case, it speaks to the resurrection into eternal life. So, I am the resurrection and the life. We need to be dead to ourselves and allow Christ to live in us. Now, see, when we really learn what that is, when we learn to let Christ be the life that we now live in, then our opinion, our desire, our way of thinking takes a back seat to his. Now, a lot of us, that's not the Jesus that we know. A lot of us know a Jesus who is like a genie, and we tell him what we want, and he gives it to us. Well, that's not the same Jesus that says that he is the life and he lives through you. See, that's a whole different way of looking at things. That's the way where we want to look at things, and that word lordship comes into play. And we'll do a study on lordship soon. But we just want to know Jesus right now. We want to know him in the way that he wants us to know him. And along that line, let's look at John chapter 13. John chapter 13 and verse 13. Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. Now, this isn't one of the big I am statements that preachers normally preach from when they preach the seven I am statements. But to me, this is very important, and it backs up what I just said about lordship. When Jesus says that you call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for I am. Well, he's Master, he's Lord. So that means it's his will, not your will. That means he tells you, you don't tell him. That means you ask of him, not you demand of him. He has bought us with a price. So we are his. We belong to him. And when you say you accept that lordship, when you say you accept the fact that he is Master, when you say you accept the fact that he is God, then you must accept the fact that you are to follow his ways. You must accept the fact that you must seek a higher way of living. And you must accept the fact that you do not live for yourself. You live for his glory. Let everything you do glorify the Lord. That kind of stings a little bit for those of us who fight for our rights, for those of us who get our feelings hurt so easy, for those of us who are so easily offended. Well, I have to ask you, who are you living for? What is the spirit that is alive in you? Is he Master and Lord? Do you say yes? Then you say well. If you say no, then you have some growing and some learning to do. Okay, let's go to 13, chapter 13, 19. Chapter 13, 19. Now, I want to make sure that you read those verses in between 13 all the way through 19, not for brevity since right now, but you read it. Now, I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Now, Jesus is speaking about his crucifixion and his resurrection from the grave and his going back, resurrection up to heaven. Okay? He's speaking of that, and he says, now I'm telling you before it happens so that when it happens, you will know. And this is one of those verses that makes me and has always made me wonder, how come, why is it that the Jews of this time, by and large, did not accept Christ? Well, as I grow in Christ, I've learned to turn that around and see this is why the ones who did follow and did believe. This is one of those proofs. And in today's world, it should be one of the proofs, knowing that he said it before it happened, and it happened just as he said it. Which lets us know that we can put faith in this word and put faith in Jesus Christ. So, here's a point where he says, I'm he. I'm the one. I'm the Messiah. I'm the Son of God. I am deity. I'm the one who came to bring you out of darkness into light. I'm the one that's been foretold to you for ages. He's the one. Okay. How about 14:6? This is another one of my Bible verses from when I was a kid, and I'm so glad that I had this stuff instilled in me as a young fella, and now I try to make sure that you get it. John 14, verse 6. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That's a pretty strong statement. Christians are oftentimes being called a lot of bad things because they state emphatically what the Bible says. When we say Jesus is the only way and no man come to the Father but by him, if we believe that, and we believe the word is true, we must believe that, then we have to believe that when people say there's other ways, we have to believe that that's not so. We can't have it both ways. Now, that don't mean we should be ugly to other religions that we should be ugly to other faith groups. Just know what you believe and know why you believe it, and believe it with your whole heart without wavering. If you believe the Bible is the Word of God and you believe it is true, then you have to believe what it says. If you believe that Jesus is who he said he was, then you have to believe his words. Right here he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The word truth is used in scriptures in two ways. True as contrasted with false, and genuine as contrasted with unreal. Although both apply to God, when we speak of the truth of God, normally his genuineness is contrasted with the false gods of other religions. The scripture, in this sense, declares him the only true God. The only true God. And we will see that. And you could take that down in John 17:3. The only true God, John 17:3. You got to read that. You got to know that. You have to be sure of what you believe and who you believe. Always ready to give a defense for the hope that is within you. Sometimes you get discouraged. And when you get discouraged, remember, he is the Lord. Okay? Now, how do we use that in today's world? Because the Lord is God, we are obligated to him in all he demands. Understand that. Understand that. He's not just another man, although he was 100% man, as well as 100% God. He's not just a good man. He's not just another one of the prophets. He's God, and he should be respected and followed as God. So go ahead and keep on in chapter 14. 14:10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he doth the work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. In other words, he's like, well, you've seen the works. You've seen things happen. I'm telling you some things before they happen, and when they happen, you have yet another witness of who I am and what I could be to you. So that is a good thing, when we could know that Jesus Christ is Lord, that Jesus Christ is God. Now, let's start wrapping up. We can wrap this thing up with these verses here. Chapter 15, verse 1, and we'll read a little bit. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he pruneth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abides in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Now, there are sermons upon sermons that have been built on these five verses right here. And what I want to share with you, and to make sure that you understand, Jesus is saying, I am the vine. I am the true vine. Well, again, these folks in that day, they knew exactly what he was saying because of the society that they were in. They were farmers. They were sheep herders. They, you know, grew stuff in the field. They had wine presses. They had olive presses. They understand how botany works. I am the true vine. There have been many before that and many after that that would come with a lie. There are many men who have started religions who were not the true vine and not even connected to the vine. And the fruit that they bear, you can tell, is bitter fruit, not good fruit. Now, like I said, big sermons in this. Now, if you want fruit, if you want fruit that remains, if you want to leave a legacy in life, if you want to make your life count for something, if you want to live on purpose, by purpose, and a life of purpose, you need to connect to the true vine. And you need to produce the fruit of that true vine. See, you're not producing fruit unto yourself. You're producing the fruit of the Spirit. And we will do a study on the fruit of the Spirit. And so, whenever a piece of fruit is squeezed and comes under pressure, then you get the juice. And you get the juice that's within the fruit. But without any pressure, you don't get that juice. You're not going to get apple juice out of an orange. So, I'm encouraging you to be a child of God, to be a son of God, and to attach yourself as a branch connected to the vine and produce good fruit, fruit that remains. Now, I'm not talking about a works type mentality, but I am talking about you shall know them by their fruit. An orange tree does not produce apples. An apple tree does not produce oranges. Are you a Christian? Are you Christ-like? Does the fruit of your life testify to the fact that you are a Christian? Something we used to say back and forth many, many years ago. If you were on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to find you guilty? Think about it. Or does your life offer up enough stuff to where you can get off with a reasonable doubt. That's pretty strong, isn't it? Well, last verse. They came looking for Jesus in chapter 8. And Judas was about to betray Jesus. In come the guards, in come the guys to get him. Jesus says, "Who do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus the Christ." He said, "I am he. I am he. I'm the one you're looking for. I'm guilty as charged. I said I was God. I am God. I said I was the Son of God. I stand by that. I'm the one you're looking for. I'm the one that preached and taught in the temple. I'm the one that raised Lazarus from the dead. I'm the one that healed the sick. I'm the one that walked amongst you. And you did not bring charges on me then. Now you come in the dark of night with swords and weapons looking for me. I am he. I ask you tonight, or whenever you're hearing this Bible study, who do you seek? Do you seek Jesus? Do you seek the Lord of Lords? Do you seek the Lord of Hosts? Do you seek the Master? Jesus says, I am he. He says, come, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. He says, come, follow me. I will be your protector. He says, come, follow me. I will be your provider. He says, come, follow me. I will guide you in the green pastures. Jesus wants you to wholeheartedly follow him, for he is the only one who paid the price for your soul. He is the only one who paid the price, who shed his blood and bought you for your salvation. He is the only one that gave himself so that you might have eternal life, and so that you might be his servant. And yet, he says, if you believe in him and you follow him, he does not treat you as a servant. He treats you as a brother. Someday we'll do a study on brotherhood and sonship, and let you know the importance of those words. Some might say those are sexist words. Those are covenant words. And my job today is to put us in front of our Lord Jesus and let him talk to your heart. And if for any reason you have moved away from him, maybe tonight is the night. Right now is the time when you make the progressive move towards him. Maybe it's a time of repentance for you so you can repent and return. Maybe you waned on your love for Christ. Maybe now's the time when you can build that back up. Maybe tonight is a night of rededication. I don't know what the Lord is speaking to you right now, but whatever He's speaking to you, listen and act on it. For we've laid a good foundation that you can believe in the Word of God, you can believe in the Son of God, you can believe in the servant of God. So there you have it. There's your word for this week. I thank you for being with us. I thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Tell a friend to join us on Sunday at 1 o'clock Eastern Time. And we will have another good word from the Word. I believe Sunday we will be talking about the characteristics of a Christian. The characteristics of a Christian. This will be a good one. It'll be that one that tells you, okay, this is what I should look like. This is what I should act like. This is if somebody will see me and they will know I am a Christian because of how I act, because of how I conduct myself. Because of these kind of things. So, hey, thanks for being with us. And we got a lot of good things coming down the pipe. So, switch over and we'll see you in the group over on Facebook. And we'll discuss the study. Thank you and good evening.